Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to In My Non-Expert Opinion. It's your host, Chelsea Reif, and I am so freaking excited about today's episode. You all know that I am finally back from a podcast hiatus that was very accidental, but very much needed. Go check out my episode from last week where I did a total brain dump of where that hiatus came from, what I'm doing now, what you can expect moving forward, and just what I'm excited about. If you listen to that episode, you know that a big thing for me was just starting to talk about whatever I want, even if it didn't back into a very specific launch or strategy or program that I had coming up. So today is one of those, and it is how to make your life feel like your birthday every single day. This episode was inspired because my birthday was actually February 1st. I turned 32. Shout out to all my Aquariuses. I never know to say if Aquariuses are like Aquarii. So let me know what's the plural version of Aquarius. But yeah, I turned 32 and I had an amazing birthday. And what was different about this birthday though, definitely compared to years in the past, is I put so much pressure on my birthday to feel like this big, exciting thing, like Christmas energy. You know, that you wake up and you're like, oh my God, what's gonna happen today? What are the surprises? What gifts am I getting? What am I gonna do? Am I gonna feel different? Like, what's gonna change in my life? And it would always be a lot of pressure. And then just because time is a construct and your birthday is just any other day, the birthdays would always just feel like, not disappointing, but like, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was gonna be. Because I just put pressure on it to be something that wasn't really reality. And also the issue that I had was that I was just comparing it to like any other day and expecting a random Wednesday that it's my birthday to all of a sudden just feel different. So because of my whole new outlook on life, which is pretty much like build a life of leisure and vitality first and everything else comes second, this birthday felt incredible because every day before that for a very long time felt incredible. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. How did I get to that point where I went from putting so much pressure on my birthday to feel like a big blowout Christmas to actually feeling like every day had birthday energy? It really was such a game changer for me. And it was a very peaceful moment to end the day and be like, wow, it does kind of feel like my birthday. Not every day, right? Life happens, things suck, things don't go our way, we get rejected, we get hurt, we cry, we have heartbreak. But the fact that I haven't really been rocked out of my center of gravity in a very long time, I think speaks to the lifestyle that I've worked very intentionally to cultivate, by the way. So what I'm telling you right now, this is not a quick journal practice I did. This wasn't like one quick mindset shift. This is something that day in and day out, I have to be hell-bent on creating this lifestyle. That means making decisions that might not be the best in other people's eyes, or it might hurt people, or you might disappoint people, or you might disappoint yourself, or it might not feel the best in that moment. But then in the long term, you're like, okay, actually, this did work out. And so my life does actually feel the way I want it to. So what I did for starters was I started auditing my time. If you listen to the productivity and organization tips for chaotic creatives, I gave you a very specific breakdown of how I started to audit my time and flip it around. But just as a refresher, I used to work basically anytime a client wanted to meet, I was like, great, let's do it. Doesn't matter if I have 5 calls before that. Doesn't matter if I'm multitasking and jumping from a podcast meeting to an accounting meeting to a coaching call. Let's just get it done. I would work Monday through Friday. I would just pack my calendar up. Obviously, just hearing that sounds exhausting, and that wasn't going to work long term. And that's also not why I got into business, was to be tied to my desk on my laptop all the time. So what I had to do to audit my time was also audit my finances and say, okay, well, the reason I have back-to-backs was to be able to fit as many one-on-one clients as I could in my calendar, because one-on-one brought me the most income because it was my highest ticket offer. So that's usually what happens. I think anyone who's gotten into any type of coaching or consulting business where you have one-on-one clients, you tend to just be like, oh my God, wait, if one client's gonna pay me $5,000 and I could take on like 10 to 20 clients a week and blah, 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 you just start doing all this math where you usually bite off more than you can chew, or at least that's what I did. So I noticed, okay, well, doing back-to-back one-on-ones does not feel good because I was drained all the time. I had no reset process in the middle. I didn't have a moment to breathe or think or digest anything. And what would happen is at the end of the day, I would kind of shut down and just be totally depleted. And then I would just do it again the next day. So part of auditing your time is also auditing your energy. I would notice, I would just feel exhausted. I felt antisocial. I didn't want to go out on weekends. I remember when I was dating my ex, there was a period where things started opening up in Germany and I wasn't getting invited to all these things. And I was like, I just don't want to go. Like, I just want to sit in bed. I want to watch a movie. And that was my body's way of being like, bitch, you are tired. Like, you need to change up your calendar. So I was like, okay, well, if one-on-one brings me the highest amount of income, how can I create space for that without burning myself out? So currently what I do is I take client calls on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That's when I do all my one-on-ones. Sometimes if I notice that it's getting a little too packed, then I'll move it to Thursdays. And I have a rule that I definitely don't do any more than 3 client calls in a day. And usually they're spaced out by like at minimum 30 minutes. And even then I usually try to make it an hour. So what I mean is, I would take a client maybe at 1 p.m. and then at 3 p.m. and then at like 5 p.m. and that's it. So that was the first thing, was noticing I could not do back-to-backs and baking in the booking link to not have clients be able to book back-to-backs, or building out my calendar in the beginning of the week or month to be able to say, okay, if I'm meeting with client number 1 on Tuesday at 2, go ahead and block off the hour after that to rest and then have your next call. I need that moment to like digest and process before taking on another client. Another thing I noticed that really helped me was that in the mornings, I need slow mornings. I'm like antisocial in the mornings. I honestly, if my future partner is listening to this, you need to write this down and put it in your vows that you will not talk to me before like 10 a.m. I am so like head in the clouds. I have really vivid, weird dreams a lot. So like waking up, I take a moment to process those. Then I'm like, okay, how do I want to spend these next 2 hours? Because usually I take quite a bit of time before I even open my laptop. And I'm just like sitting there and mulling and daydreaming, and I don't feel social at all. I really am like a sloth in the mornings. So why would I take any type of client call in the mornings, right? Like that would make no sense. So what I did was started to block off my mornings in my calendar that were just like me time. So my mornings, Monday through Friday, I will never take a client call before noon. The only exception to this rule is recently figuring out how much I want to travel over spring and summer. I am going to do more like support calls. So that's where I'm the client. So if I need to meet with my business operations manager or my VA or anybody that I'm open to meeting for before, like, before noon, but probably after 10, any client call 100% usually stays after noon. I also built a no calls week into my calendar, and this is usually when I'm on my period. So by the way, if you do menstruate and you know this time of month, I am going through it. Like that was it for me. I was just like mood swings, or I'd just be really low or down, or I have to have no energy and just want to sleep. I'm like, again, why would I book like 12 client calls that week? That just doesn't make sense. So that no calls week, that's usually my week to like record podcast episodes, plan out content, start writing newsletters, reaching out to guests, just a lot of like planning and analyzing, and honestly also just resting. Like there's also days where I'm like, I'm not working. Like I cannot, I don't want to, it's not gonna be productive or impactful, close the laptop. So no calls week, because now if you think about it, I took a whole week out of my month. It basically gives me 3 working weeks to do client-facing calls. So this helps me know when I'm biting off more than I can chew, because I can look at my calendar. By the way, all my clients book their calls up front. If I'm thinking of onboarding someone new, I have to be like, well, wait, you actually can't take on another client unless you want to start working on Fridays or Mondays or doing more back-to-backs or working later. And sometimes I'm okay with that. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't mind bringing on one more client and just doing their meeting on Monday, calling it a day. But I noticed, this is what happened to me in 2019, or actually maybe 2020 when I started my business. You get excited and you're like, no, 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 I'll make it work. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I'll open up my Mondays. I'm like, whatever. It's just 2 calls on Fridays. Like anybody can do 2 calls. But if you have a 6 or 12 month contract and you're doing that week after week after week, it does get exhausting, at least for me, okay? At least for me, that's what happened. So sometimes I'm open again to switching up my schedule a tiny bit, but for the most part, Mondays I don't do client calls, Fridays I don't do client calls, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are my client-facing calls. Thursdays I've reserved for my mastermind calls or like any courses that I want to do, and also a lot of support. So that's when I do like therapy or meet with my coaches or join like membership calls. I usually do that on Thursdays and Fridays. So that in and of itself started to give me the identity and the assurance that I was someone that was creating the life of my dreams instead of life and my schedule just happening to me. That type of ownership of my schedule and of my time gave me more confidence to keep switching things around and auditing when it didn't work. Also, the confidence in and of itself just gave me that self-assurance that I'm like, I have my own back. I have my best interest at heart. I know what works for me. I have the self-awareness to know what works for me. And so it just boosted my self-esteem. So again, going back to like making your life feel like your birthday, a lot of us love birthdays because we get showered with words of affirmation and reassurance and attention and beautiful birthday cards and gifts and Facebook posts and the Instagram story shout outs. And it's just constantly people telling us, I love you. I love how you are in the world. Happy birthday. You're the most amazing person, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh my God, one day out of the whole year that I just get showered with assurance. How can I give that to myself the other 364 days is by reassuring myself and making myself excited about my life. So I'm excited about my calendar now. I love that I get to wake up and pick whatever I want to do until basically noon. I love that when I look at my calendar, my yellow time blocks are leisure, and my Google Insights tell me that I spend most of my time on leisure. I'm excited that when I look at my time, I don't work past 6 or 7. I don't have early morning calls. I can take off Fridays. I can take off holidays. I'm able to plan trips ahead without freaking out that I'm gonna lose clients. So this is how I started to make my life feel like my birthday was owning my time. The second thing that you should consider is what makes you feel good. This one seems pretty obvious. You're like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Of course we should do what makes us feel good. But I truly think that a lot of times we think what makes us feel good is what we think will look good to others or what is perceived as good. So I bet you right now, some of you are like, oh, what makes me feel good is a bath and a face mask and a hair mask and chilling on the couch. And I would agree, I also love those things and those also make me feel good. If I'm also being honest with myself, I am a social creature and a social butterfly. So what makes me feel good is group dinners and having like amazing, deep, sometimes even intense conversations. What makes me feel good is talking to people about things that I don't normally talk about in my regular day-to-day life or in my work. What makes me feel good is walking around a park with absolutely no aim or nothing to do and stumbling across an ice cream shop and getting a fucking huge ice cream cone with no guilt or shame and just being like, who cares? Let's do it. So what truly makes you feel joyful? I had to really unsubscribe from all the like wellness content that I followed because I started to take that on as that's what made me feel good. And again, some of it does, but not everything. Like I don't always need to be having a matcha latte and with a 10-step skincare routine and a hair mask 3 times a week and a bubble bath with bath salts and candles and rose water and blah, 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 blah. It's like, yes, sometimes and some days those make me feel good. Other times going to a concert, raging with my friends till midnight also feels good. Sometimes like swimming in the ocean naked at 6 in the morning feels good. So I had to really make a list of like what makes me feel good. And I would prompt you to do this. What makes me feel so good and that I do on vacation? And what are things that totally deplete my energy and make me feel drained? Or whenever I see an invite to something like that or it's on my calendar, you're just like, oh, dreading it? Make a note of that too. And then it's pretty obvious, but start doing more of what's on the good side versus the other. Some small little things for me were also walking along the ocean on the promenade in Cape Town, which is like a huge sidewalk essentially, going for a swim at the rock pool and actually laying out on the rock, getting up and getting an iced decaf mocha, like getting the really specific annoying order. It's like decaf, iced, oat milk, extra ice, some whipped cream on top, but not a lot. Like I'm like, that feels fun and exciting, so I'm gonna do it. Working out has become really something that I look forward to. Being able to start my work and open my laptop after I've walked on the promenade, gotten my iced mocha, laid on the rock, read, journaled, been in the sun, blah, blah, blah. that makes me feel good. Another way that I started auditing what makes me feel good is at the end of the day, I do this every single day. I've been doing it for probably at least 6 months now, and it's drastically changed my mindset, is I make half a page that's a gratitude list, and the other half is a self-acknowledgement list. So gratitude is anything I'm grateful for, from I'm so happy my friend got the Uber and didn't even ask for money in return, she's so generous, to I'm also grateful for the food I ate today, to the fact that my body is able to lift a certain amount of weight, right? It could be literally anything. Now, self-acknowledgement is things that I am acknowledging myself for that I'm proud of. Now, what's interesting about this is it used to be very much work-related and productivity output-related. So it's like, I'm so happy I sent X amount of emails, or I signed this many clients, or that I recorded this podcast episode. Shout out to my therapist on BetterHelp. By the way, you can get 10% off your first month with the link in my show notes. She said, why don't you try to switch that up and focus on the way you handle yourself in friendships, in relationships, in conversations with your family and friends. And that really opened up a whole new list of things for me. So now my self-acknowledgement list is like, I'm really proud of the way that I had conversations with dinner at people that prompted us to get really deep. I'm proud of the way that I answered this client email that triggered me a little bit. I'm proud of myself for turning down someone that actually would not be a fit for me one-on-one. Even though it would have been an extra at least five figures, that's just not someone I want to work with for 6 months. How can I let them down gracefully and be a resource to them? I'm proud of myself for doing that. So because I do this every day, by the way, it's become a habit because I habit track it, I know that at the end of the day, I have to write these things down. So the way I go through my day, I am constantly clocking good things that happen to me. Honestly, it's like a game. If you all listened to the podcast back in 2019, I talked about this a lot. I called it the gold coin strategy because it reminded me of Mario Kart when you get the gold coins and then you get like boosted to the other level. So I would spend my whole day thinking how many gold coins can I collect by the end of the day? And it was just a game. So I'm not kidding. Like, it's actually almost obsessive. I will literally think of anything that day that happened to me that was like remotely good. Like, this happened to me the other day. I forgot my key to get in the workspace, and the whole day they just let me walk in and out without the key. And I remembered that, so I wrote that down. Or I remember that some bakeries don't warm up the croissants before they give them to you. They kind of just give them to you cold. And the one that I went to actually warmed it up and asked if I wanted warmed it up, and it made it 10 times better. So this is how specific I'm getting in what I'm writing in my journal, is constantly clocking these good moments and being able to recall them at the end of the day. And what I'm doing is actually training my brain to always seek out positivity or good things or things that are delightful or joyful or exciting or energizing, versus focusing on, oh my God, I forgot my workspace key, like, oh, such an idiot, or I can't believe this happened. What this does for me is it's not a chore, it's a way to train my brain to constantly seek out the optimism and the positivity and the good things that are happening for me on a continual basis, so I can build an evidence folder for myself and show myself that life is always working out for me. So on the days that are inevitably going to happen, where I feel like shit, or I'm stressed out, or I'm overwhelmed, or I'm insecure, whatever the case is, I can look back on all my journal entries or just tap into the memories and the feelings, being like, well, majority of your life actually does go your way because you take very intentional effort to create it. And I have to remind myself of that constantly. Like, I wish you all knew how much intention and effort and thought I put into reminding myself of this on a constant daily basis through the journaling practices and being able to clock these moments. It's also trained me to become more present. So I noticed when I was in Cape Town, I was so intentional about really like sinking into these present moments. I never brought out my phone. That's why you never saw me like post a lot about Cape Town while I was there. Stories for me are like whatever, right? You post something and then it's gone in 24 hours. You don't even have to write a caption. But like posting reels and tips and tricks and posting captions and writing all these newsletters and blah, blah, blah. I wasn't doing that because I was so present and deeply connecting with all the people around me. And I highly credit that to this practice. So then what I would do at the end of the day too is also write down those conversations. Like, I'm so happy that this girl and I bonded over this, or that this guy and I are developing a really awesome platonic friendship that I feel really great that I can have like a guy friend in this specific part of the world that I could always hit up for advice. So this type of thinking is what will make your life feel like your birthday, because your birthday is a day that usually is associated with positivity, because again, we're getting showered with affirmations or gifts or time off or something. So when I started to do this, I was like, no wonder my actual birthday on February 1st didn't feel that different from the other days, because I had elevated the quality of my days. Okay, I want to say that one more time. I elevated the quality of my days so that my birthday wasn't the one big quality day I had per year. Now, I want to double click a little bit on expanding the quality of your days in your life. The way I started doing that was picking one fun thing every single week that was not really in my routine that would feel exciting to me. Here's an example. You all know I've become a super athlete, probably going to be recruited by Nike soon. If you've been watching my Instagram stories, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I was doing a lot of strength training. So I was like, what would feel exciting and different for me is like a Pilates class or a dance class or a twerk class or a sound bath, like something that just felt like a new event. So I started very intentionally plugging one thing into my calendar at least per week that was just like so big and fun and exciting to me. Here's another example. You all know I was like very against hiking for a very long time. I think part of it was I thought hiking was boring. I'm like, you're just literally looking at rocks for like 3 hours and then you're up at the top for like 20 minutes. And of course you feel so accomplished and like you conquered something, but then you just walk down and look at rocks again and it's just hard and you're like panting and sweating. So I was like, I hate hiking. And then I was like, okay, well, do you hate hiking or do you feel a little bit insecure about it too? Because I didn't really have the like athleticism to get up this mountain, or I wasn't as fast as my friends, or I just had the mindset that it was going to be boring. So I was like, well, what if I went on a hike and I just pretended to be someone else that liked hiking? What would I think? Well, I would think a lot differently. I would actually be excited to go up the mountain. I would give myself credit for getting up there. I would take in the views and actually soak it up and give thanks to my body for getting me up the freaking mountain. I would thank God for the beauty that I was seeing up there. I would actually enjoy feeling some of the strenuous nature on my body to know that my body could handle that. So a big thing for me that I plugged in 1 week was like, you are gonna hike one of the most popular mountains in Cape Town, which is Lion's Head. So that was something for me that was like, again, a big event that changed up my routine. Now, I remember Matthew Hussey talking about this once, where he was like, just make your life so big and colorful and exciting that it would be hard for anyone to interrupt that. Like it would be like a dent in your week or your month, but it wouldn't overtake your week or your month. And that advice I hear a lot, and I hear it interestingly a lot from guys, and I'm like, that kind of makes sense why I feel like guys don't have such a hard time with breakups, at least as I do. I have like a really hard time with breakups. So I was like, how can I really reinforce my center of gravity that is so strong, it's almost shatterproof, where no matter what, my life is just constantly so colorful and exciting that anyone that comes along, if it doesn't work out, it would just be a blip on the radar, or maybe a dent, or maybe a bigger ding, but it wouldn't completely collapse my inner world. So that is what really motivates me now. When I am planning out weeks or months of my life, I constantly think like, does this expand me? Does this excite me? Does this inspire me? And by the way, they're not always like expensive things, right? The hike was free. The Pilates class I booked was like $15. I remember I also started running. Wow, I know, shocking. I started running to the rock pool every morning. And that was a big thing for me in Cape Town, was like, I haven't run in a very long time. I couldn't even tell you the last time I like jogged a mile. I remember being like, why don't you try jogging a mile? And that can be your big thing this week, is like you jogged a mile and then swam in the ocean. So I don't want you to think that doing something big and colorful every week means expensive and high ticket. It also doesn't have to feel like once in a blue moon, right? Like this shouldn't be something that's so unique that you're like, oh my God, I would only do this once a year, because then again, it's giving that birthday energy of this only happens to me once a year. We're trying to create birthday energy 365 days a year. So what I mean is, if you want to start writing a book, start doing that. Build that into your day. Go do a pole dancing class. try something new like a float tank or acupuncture or sound therapy. Also, literally meeting new people could be your thing. It could just be like, I'm going to go to a cafe and say hi to someone, and that's going to be my big thing of the week, is like I made a new friend. Or that one girl that I've been DMing on Instagram, she lives in my town, I'm going to invite her to coffee. I'm going to make our new recipe that is pad Thai that I've never tried to make Thai food in my freaking life, but I'm going to try it. Okay, these don't need to be big, expensive, loud, luxury things all the time. It can literally be, let me just jog a mile and see what happens. Another way to think of this is basically think of things you do on vacation. So usually when I'm on vacation, I start trying different foods. I get a little more adventurous. I'm all of a sudden like, ooh, let's try like zip lining, or I don't know, paragliding, or cooking class, like something that I normally wouldn't do in my day to day. Well, when I started adopting this, like basically make my life my focus versus my work, I started turning those vacation moments into weekly or monthly moments. So that's really important to me now, is that, again, either once a week or once a month, I have something that really feels like something I would only do on vacation. A cooking class, an art class, an adrenaline junkie activity, something really explorational. That's a word, right? Yeah, I think. Something that just expands your mind, because this is how you make your days feel better and elevate the quality of your life, is expanding your mind. We get bored and stuck and feel like everything is mundane and like our life isn't amazing when we just keep doing the same things over and over and over and over again. So really, to tie this all together, remember bullet one when I said audit your time and then start building your life that way, like according to what you want to do with your time. That makes time to be able to do all the things that I'm talking about. Because I remember hearing podcasts like this where people are like, oh my God, just go get a facial on a Wednesday, or like, you know what, try to sleep in and then start your morning at noon. And I'm like, are these people living in La La Land? And I realized, no, they just set up their calendar and systems and structures to work for their lifestyle, which, by the way, also contains people's mental health, access to resources and capital, team members, support, so on and so forth, right? Being able to audit your time and like switch it around all the time isn't accessible to everybody. I understand people have 9-to-5s. I understand people have children and dogs or are caregivers of their household. So when I give advice like this, or I'm sharing it, I want you to take it through the filter of how it applies to your life. So if you have a 9-to-5 and 2 kids and you're like, I can't just do this, maybe what you can do is just alter your schedule at work, saying I'm only going to do client meetings between like 2 and 5, and mornings are going to be my email and admin time. Or I'm going to plan my PTO according to my cycle. Or I'm going to plan my vacations according to the season of the year that I have the most fun and exciting times, like that every time I go on this type of vacation, it always feels fun. I'm going to plan it that way. So apply what works for you, leave what doesn't. But I think the most important thing here is that you elevate the quality of your life, because that is how you start to make your lifestyle feel like your birthday. For me, I know I'm living in alignment with this type of value or this type of thinking when I almost don't even have time to share it, because it's like on to the next thing. Because I intentionally try to make my life as colorful as possible. So when big things happen to me, they don't always feel so big, because I'm like, I've tried to make my life big. I've put a lot of effort into making a big life for myself. So when something grandiose happens, it's like, yeah, I expected that to happen because I planned for it. I thought about it. I visualized it. I wanted it to happen. I was expecting it. I cultivated the environment for it to come through. And I think that's something I really want to drive home here, is that the way I'm living my life right now is not accidental. The way I'm living my life right now isn't just based on the country I'm in. Right, I could be in Colombia right now and be miserable because of how my schedule is, or what type of clients I take on, or how I spend my mornings, and what type of workouts I do, and blah, 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 which has happened before. There are countries I've been to where I've had a shitty ass mindset and just let life happen to me, like, oh, hopefully one day this changes. Hopefully magically in the next month or so, things will shift around. Maybe if I move zip codes or apartments, my life will magically shift. And while sometimes that's true, I've also realized 90% of it is what I am doing to basically meet the universe halfway. So now when I wake up, it's like, how am I taking ownership to create the life of my dreams? What am I doing to move that needle forward? And sometimes it really is as simple as I am going to walk in the sunshine for 10 minutes and jump in the ocean. Okay, I don't want you to think that this has to be some mega output, super productive, grandiose, massive, like head in the clouds thing every single day. It doesn't. Okay, so the question I would leave you with, I would love to end with like a journal prompt here, is how am I taking ownership of my life? How am I creating the life that I want? How am I spending my free time and how could I do more of that? And what's just not serving me and what are things I can let go of to make more space to do or bring in the things that I love that actually do bring me true joy? Not Instagram joy, not social media joy, not joy that will look good to others, but that genuinely like lights me up like little butterflies in my stomach, excited, fun, expansive, kind of like kid in the candy store energy. Okay, so how can you bring kid in the candy store energy to your life on a regular basis? Well, that's all I have for you today. I hope this was helpful. I hope you like this shorter of an episode. I know it wasn't that much shorter, but it's definitely different than my other ones. And I would love to hear some feedback from you. Like I said, I've been really wanting to test out new ways of creating content, and it would just mean so much to hear from you. And what you think of this content, it kind of reminds me of a speakeasy where you're like, okay, wait, how do I get in there? And then what's going to be there and what's going on? And you're like, whoa, what's in here? This is a really cool place. I hope you feel like that with my new kind of content strategy, because basically my content strategy right now is like have fun, live my life, share, and see what happens. So yeah, let me know. You can email me info@chelseareif.com. You can follow me at Chelsea Reif on any social media. My website is chelseareif.com. And this month, the first three people who leave me a review on Apple Podcasts are going to win a copy of my Pitch Yourself as a Guest Mastermind. I taught this to my one-on-one clients, and a few of them have already booked themselves on like their dream podcast simply because of the pitch. So I walk you through how to find podcasts to pitch, how to position yourself to stand out from a sea of pitches, how to pitch in a way that actually is compelling and captivating that people want to open your email, and then of course, how to get booked on those podcasts. So if that sounds exciting to you and you're like, yes, I would love to be talking on my favorite podcast, how do I do that? Again, all you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts, send it to info@chelseareif.com, and the first three people that hit my inbox, you will get a copy of this replay. All right, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you soon.